You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
We'll be in touch.
And run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Well, my goodness gracious, let me tell you the news. My head's been wet with the midnight dew. I've been down on bended knee, talking to the man from Galilee. He spoke to me with a voice so sweet, I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He called my name and my heart stood still when he said, John, go do my will. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, we're back. This is Ralph Grummet, Winterroad II, with the Ralph Winterroad Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And if you just listen to that last thing between James McAlpine and, I forget the name of the attorney, Galt or something, whatever his name was, I'll look it up. Oh, you don't need an attorney. That's all technical stuff. You need to get an attorney. You have a search warrant, but you don't need to, you don't have a right to see, it says attached, what the things they can or cannot take. Just open the doors. Come a phone in. Oh, yeah. Just help yourself to the candy machine. You want to, what would you like to see? Well, take anything you want. See, I'm not allowed to see what you can or cannot see. Now, you show it to the judge, supposedly, but I can't see that. Oh, and the person that did the probable cause. Oh, I can't see that either, even though it says it's attached here. Those are technical things. And you don't have a time to see it until after you're indicted. But if you get an attorney now, did you see what their plea bargain? It's about fear and panic. We want to instill fear and panic. Get you to plea bargain. Because 95% or up of all cases are all plea bargained out. So they get fear, panic, and then if you're married or whatever, dissension between the parties or in trusts. That's how they do it. So, can we fight this? Absolutely. Anybody that's got a criminal case, if you want to got a criminal case, I will send you free of charge out of Mertens the stuff on the different criminal. You can see it. Read it. I don't have time to get involved, but I'll give it to you for free. Mark in Florida, question, comment.
Yeah, Ralph, I got a question. You're talking about the United States of America and the United States. So my question is concerning Title 18, where you sign under penalty of perjury with or without the United States, which one would be the proper one to be?
Are you talking about Title 18, or are you talking about 28 U.S.C. 1746?
I think it's 18.
Well, there is under the if you do declarations. Those are the reason why they do declarations, because their excuse was it was too difficult to have a notary public. The reason why they do that is to get away from the venue of, quote, the appearance of a several states. So they do declarations which are unsworn, and you say, I do here to declare it, and you can do it with or without the United States. Now, that's a good question. I've looked into that quite a bit, and I don't have an affirmative answer that I'd want to commit to right now. But that's an excellent question, because it's with or without the United States. The obvious question is, where would I be without the United States?
Well, without the United States, it says, would be I affirm under the felony perjury of the United States of America.
Right, and in the United States of America, you know where that is? That's in the District of Columbia. Actually, see, this is where we get down to. The United States of America was the Articles of Confederation. It was formed. It only had legislative powers on the states. It could not reach the individual citizens. It had no executive, had no judicial. So for a more perfect union, they created in the Constitution for the United States of America, called the Constitution of the United States. And there is a government of the United States. And within the several states, there is an overlay of the government of the United States that has limited powers. Forts, arsenals, needful buildings, and, of course, the ones in Article 1 under commerce and all that. And what they did during the Civil War, when the Civil War got over, they turn the citizenship upside down. You had to be the people. You had to be a sovereign country, like the sovereign country of Florida, which is one of the several states. All of your inalienable rights are secured in the Constitution of Florida, the law of the land. And after the Civil War, they did what's called the Reconstruction Acts. Constructed our republic. They turned it upside down. And if you read the 14th, they said you're got to be a citizen. The first part is constitutional, born or whatever, the first part of the 14th, but the second part, you got to be a citizen of the United States. So national citizenship first, and then reside in a state. And I got a book that explains it. They will turn it upside down. And a citizen of the United States, I've got that out of the Cruikshank and Slaughterhouse cases in the Congressional Record in a research document. It's supposed to remain dormant because the citizen of the United States was only to be used by Congress against state law or state actors when they did discriminatory things under the 13th, 14th, or 15th on the voting. Vote is the right to show up at the door, and I don't care what flavor you are, color or religion or whatever. You have a right to enter that building, but the elective franchise and suffrage is still secured in being a citizen of the several states. Supreme Court's ruled over and over on that. It's not even up for arguments no more, except we don't know it. This whole discrimination, all this other nonsense, is all smoke and mirrors. You have to be a citizen of the United States, which I'm going to get to in this 1939 Public Salary Act. It's only about citizens of the United States. The Buck Act is only about citizens of the United States that are deemed to be in a federal area, a fictional land of Oz called the federal area in the external boundaries of Florida, which means you are in Florida within the exterior boundaries, but you're not domiciled there.
Well, on the new Florida voter registration, it has a box at the top. You check a box. And it says now, I am a citizen of the United States of America.
I've seen that. Okay, and a citizen of the United States of America is a traveling citizenship, and that can put you in their world under the United States of America, because what they did simply stated, because the Constitution of the United States only has two parties. The people, we the people, obviously is in there. That's called the citizens of the several states. That's the civil rights and all that that's embedded in there. You have the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the several states. The civil rights. And the states. There are two parties. Well, guess what? If you do not sign up as a citizen of Florida to exercise suffrage and your elective franchise, you're not there. You're not one of the we the people. Okay, and the legislatures in the 17th Amendment, in that they got around and gave it back to the, quote, citizens of the United States. I've got the congressional record. I got to go read and see what kind of con they pulled. But they're not there either. So there are no parties. So they reverted back to the United States of America, which is the Articles of Confederation, because the Constitution of the United States has no parties. And the only way they can get away with this, which I'm going to talk about some if I have time, is in the 1939 Public Salary Act, they can get around, and the state said, we will tax the federal employees. The Fed said, we will allow you to, we'll pay your state income tax, but the only thing is, there can't be any discrimination. As long as there's nobody discriminated against, they can pull this off. So as soon as you, as a citizen of Florida, take a stand and say, I'm not doing this. I want to vote as a citizen of Florida. I want my political rights, because you see, they're always talking about civil rights. Civil rights started with 1866 for the blacks. They gave them civil rights, but they didn't give them political rights because they couldn't. Now, they could have naturalized them. They did the 14th Amendment 2 years later. Then in 1870, they said, oh, by the way, you can be naturalized and you can come in and have political rights. Why in the hell didn't you do that back in 1866? Because they had to get the republic overthrown to the fictional citizen of the United States with civil rights. Why? Because everybody, oh, you violated my civil rights. What is civil rights? It's the right to go to court and be treated equally. Fine. It's the right to have contracts and be treated equally. It's the right to own land in any of the other, quote, states or several states and be treated equally as far as taxation. But what you do not have, and they will not talk about it, and I got a case, Virginia is one of, if you haven't seen it, it's just amazing clarification. What you do not have, if you do not have political rights, which is your inalienable rights from the Creator, we acknowledge we have a Creator, and we acknowledge inalienable rights. We're the only country in the whole frickin' world that does this. And then from that, we have a right to what's called a republican form of government secured, which means we have three separate branches. They are independent, and they are populated by officers of the United States or by public officers in the several states. And in that, you have to be a qualified elector to install a public officer. Public officers have a known legal duty. They have to take a proper oath of office as a public officer, not just a public an oath of office. They have to be there either by the election, by the qualified electors, or by a civil commission signed by somebody with authority to do it, of which in Alaska, I've got to admit, we don't have either. And then we have separate, independent constitutional government. None of that exists today because with all of the political rights gone, because you see, even under the law of nations, civil rights, I could be somebody from France could own land over here, got a case in North Carolina. They have a right. Civil rights are recognized around under the law of nations, and that's fine. They can own land over here. We can own land over there if the law allows it. Of course, like in Mexico, you can't, I don't think. I don't think you can own land down there without somebody tied in. But civil rights is recognized also under the law of nations. Political rights is only because you have to have a domicile there. You have to have one place to plant your tush down. you have to have what's called the law of the land of that sovereign country. It is a sovereign country of which it has a constitution called the Constitution of Florida, and is a limited delegation from the we, the people, the sovereigns. So you're not a sovereign citizen, but you are still sovereign, but you have a limited delegation for a Republican. And then there is, and this is found also in 8 U.S.C. 1101, 23B. I am not, there's an A and a B. A says you're a citizen of the United States, or, doesn't say citizen of the United States and a resident of a state. It says that you're a citizen of the United States, which means I'm going into the land of Oz under the plenary power of Congress. That's why on all the definitions they do state includes the District of Columbia, because that's where Congress has plenary power. The territories, they have plenary power over the municipal entities. They don't have plenary power in the several states. If they legislate in Florida and legislate in D.C., obviously they got plenary power, which means Florida is not one of the several states. That's why they use definitions to redefine all this stuff. It's all about the dang terms. But anyways, it's a con. And we, the people, have signed up for it because we do not understand what's going on. And I got them really fleshed out in the National Voter Registration Act, because they talk about the fundamental rights of a citizen of the United States. Really? Well, what are they? Well, I've got them in the research document done by the the government, put in the congressional record, and they list all these different things out. But there's no right of suffrage. There's no right of elective franchise. Yeah, there's all kinds of other things. But that's not for the citizens of the several states. Your protections is because you're a citizen of Florida. But, of course, the Constitution of Florida probably doesn't exist. I haven't looked into it, but it's probably called the Constitution of the State of Florida or for the State of Florida. And I don't know whether you have internal or external amendments. I've not looked into all that stuff. But the bottom line is you've got to be a citizen of Florida exercising your elective franchise and suffrage if you want to have any inalienable rights, if you want to have a constitution. Otherwise, you got nothing. Okay?
Yep, so I got a... go back to the record of Florida, 1842, I think it was. So, thank you, Ralph.
Yep, okay. This is a con. It is the biggest con of people that think they what they know and they don't have the facts. I finally put enough of this together with all these years of documents. And with Westlaw, you can timeline these things and see when they came about, why they came about. You have to have the concept of why they came about. It's like the question of why would I be required to file a return? How can I file a return unless somebody is required to deduct and withhold? Who is required to deduct and withhold? That is limited. It is strictly in the 7701. It's right there. Don't hide it. It's there. We just don't want to believe it. It says, withholding agent. The term withholding agent means. Anytime you use the word means, they take everything we think we know as a word or terms, and they are definite of two words or a word, and they give it a whole brand new exclusive meaning. It says, any person required to deduct and withhold any tax. Those are killer statements. Who is required to deduct and withhold any tax? Any tax. Any tax. And this is in Title 26. What are they going to do? It lists three entities. 1441, non-resident alien. 1442 is a foreign corporation. 1443 is a foreign organization. And 1461, if you are withholding and deducting, I better be one of those three, otherwise, because I am responsible. If I was a non-resident alien and I was, quote, working or associated with you, you would be required. But if I'm not, I can sue you. There's more.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, well, we're back here. And this logic, am I required to file a return? Okay, fine. Okay, so I'll file a return. Well, who is required to deduct and withhold? There's got to be some money there from filing a return. The only constitutional authority is for foreigners. Okay? So I'm going to file a return and nobody is required to deduct and withhold? Now, how'd they get around this? Because there is no duty to require to deduct and withhold except for foreign non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, foreign organizations. So how do they hook us? How do they get us? You see, there are five subtitles of taxes. Like there, you just can't say there's a federal tax liability in Florida or North Carolina. Now, wait a minute. Well, there's all kinds of taxes. There's property taxes, sales taxes, gas taxes, all kinds of taxes. They don't want to go there. You know why? Because it goes them back to the withholding agent. So how do they make this work? What's the con? The con is there are five unique, totally separate types of taxes in Title 26. Subtitle A, income. Subtitle B, gift to state. Subtitle C is employment. And guess what? Subtitle C, there is no deficiency. You can't actually own the government. Now why is that? Subtitle E is some excise tax nonsense, stuff that's buried into like alcohol and that. There's excise for the privilege of doing it. They bury taxes in it. Or there's Subtitle E ATF stuff. So why can't they answer who is required to deduct and withhold? Because, you see, if you search in subtitle C, of which there is no deficiency, they call it employment taxes. That's called the Social Security Act. And it's implemented by the Public Salary Act and by the Buck Act. You see, within that, it's called election by the employer. That's in the Social Security Act in the legislative history, and it's buried in, I think it's 3402, subtitle C, election by the employer. So how do we get money in the IRS that I would be required to file a return for? Oh, that's right. Because, you see, the employer, under the Social Security Act, they make that constitutional by calling it an excise tax. Unemployment insurance. FUTA. So they quote, employer is a privilege if you're a citizen of the United States. So it's a franchise tax, like California, some of these other ones. So it's a privilege that we grant you in this fictional world, and it's under excise tax to make it constitutional. We call the money that's put into your, quote, retirement a federal income tax. Well, isn't that just special? And it's called election by the employer. It is voluntary. You've heard the people say, oh, it's voluntary. It absolutely is. At the point of a gun, if you don't know what's going on, because it's so corrupted. But there's way out of it. You have to understand what's going on. So it's called a W-4. There is a place, box 7. I'm exempt. I modified slightly. I can't sign something that I know is illegal, unconstitutional. I'll modify it. But it's still exempt. I'm exempt. It's voluntary. That's how the money gets there, because I assume the character of, and that's in this thing, I am not one, but I assume the character of. I can sign up to be the character of a secretary or a president of a corporation. I have the character of, that's in this congressional record, the character of. Yeah, I can do that. I just sign up. I can be the character. I can sign it to be the character of a trustee. I can be the character of a beneficiary. Got to be very careful with the words. So this is why they are stuck when they get into the fact is, where is the known legal duty, which is actually gets to who is required to deduct. I want to file a return. Well, who's required to deduct and withhold? Got to be somebody. There is. It ain't nothing new with me. Back in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Okay, well, we're back here. Can we prove some of this stuff? Absolutely. Oh, the 1939 Public Salary Act. I went back and I read it more carefully. The Senate Report 112, February 29th, 1939. Order to be printed. And what it says is, it is widely conceded that a fair and effective income tax ought to be subject to the compensation of public officers and employees to the same general burden that is borne by private citizens. Who are these private citizens? Well, let's go see what it says. The taxpayers are citizens of the United States. That's on page 7. And bound to contribute to its support. Absolutely, I agree. If you sign up that you want the benefit of being a fictional citizen of the United States, you absolutely should be contributing. I have no doubt. But am I a citizen of the United States? No, because I owe permanent allegiance, but I am not a citizen of the United States. Because you see, under 18 U.S.C. 9/11, if somebody says I am, okay, that's a crime, okay? And your evidence is? This is why you file the status document that I have, because you have to come out of Babylon and say who you are on the public record, and it's self-authenticating under Evidence Rule 901, number 7, because they are using public records against us. That's the con. Now, there's something else you got to be very, very careful to talk about. because they use these words and they're very careful the way they do them. They talk about after 1870, federal net income tax. And they go on farther to talk about federal income tax. So the question is, does your 1040 say federal income tax? No. Why not? Well, is there a difference between federal income tax and income tax? Yep. There really is. Can I prove it? Well, you see, if I go down here in this same thing, it's quite interesting. They get around, and this is on page 14. It should be noted that included in the classes of employees to whom the commissioner may give relief under this section will be employees of the type involved in the case of Helvering versus Thorell. That's 303 U.S. 218. Since the decision of Gerhart, G-E-R-H-A-R-T, D-T, that is a killer case, clarified and restated the basis of the liability for such persons for federal income tax. Federal income tax. It does not say federal, or does not say just income tax. You think that might be important? Yes, because there's federal income tax and there's income tax. Well, the question becomes, if this case, and let me pull it up here, it is, let's see, this is on page 6. This case is called Helvering, H-E-L-V-E-R-I-N-G, that's the commissioner, versus Gerhart, G-E-R-H-A-R-D-T. This was a 1938 case. 1938. And see, they tell us. See, that's what's so amazing about this stuff. They tell us what's going on if you just go looking for it. They're proud of it. Now, what does it say? This is on page 418 of this case. And again, that was 304 U.S. 405, page 418. In these cases, the function has been either held or assumed to be of such character that its performance by the state is immune from direct federal inference, semicolon. Yet, here's the killer, the individuals, which are citizens of the United States, that's under 5 U.S.C. 552A, A2, yet the individuals who personally derive profit or compensation from their employment in carrying out the function were deemed to be subject to federal income tax. I read that again. Yet the individuals, that's citizens of the United States, that's also, by the way, in the Public Salaries Act, who personally derived, you could get a profit or a compensation from their employment in carrying out the function, were deemed subject to what? The federal income tax. And who do they list? The following classes, this is footnote 6, of taxpayers have been held subject to federal income tax in spite of, it says notwithstanding, its possible economic burden on the state. Those who derive income or profits from their performance of state functions as independent engineering contractors, a negative case, from the resale of state bonds, engaged in lessees of the state in producing oil from state lands, the royalties of which payable to the state are devoted to public purposes, whole bunch of cases, blah, blah, blah. Similarly, federal taxation of property transferred by death to the state or one of the municipalities was upheld. A federal tax on the transportation of merchandise and performance of a contract to sell or deliver it to a county was sustained. a federal excise tax on corporations measured by income, including interest received from state bonds, was upheld. That is your excise tax of 1909. That's it. It's called federal income tax. So how did they pull this off on us? What are we not seeing here? Have to learn to read. Because you see, under the Social Security Act, they overthrew the states because they got them all to sign up by a state plan because of the Depression. And it sounds so lucrative. Wouldn't you like to go to work for somebody that says, hey, I will have unemployment insurance, so you won't be starving like you are. And oh, by the way, I'll take some money out. We'll call that federal income tax, because we're not going to tell you. We're going to call it a retirement fund. And when you retire, you'll have money. Well, would you like to go to work for somebody that has no unemployment insurance and there's no automatic retirement fund set up for you? Of course not. This is a benefit. Sounds good to me. But how do we pull it off? Well, we had to put it in, first of all, because in this Senate report, it said the 16th Amendment didn't do anything except took away apportionment. That's fine. Congress can only legislate over citizens of the United States. They can never touch the citizens of the several states. Never could, still can't. That's why it says in this thing here, the taxpayers are citizens of the United States. It says so in plain English. It identifies the taxpayers in the Senate report. And the Supreme Court case that they references tells you the individuals, citizens of the United States. If you're doing business with deriving some public benefit of something dealing with the state or thing, then they can tax you as a citizen of the United States. They cannot touch you as a citizen of one of the several states. So how did they pull the rest of the con off? Well, I get you to sign up as a W-4. First of all, I get you to vote as a citizen of the United States, or in Florida, there's a few that are citizens of the United States of America, but you have to be a citizen of one of the several states. You have to be the citizen of Florida to have your inalienable rights and yet to actually exercise your elective franchise as a qualified elector or the right of suffrage. So I get you to vote this fictional government in. It's not a government. How would I know that? Well, let's see. After I've got you in a citizen of the United States, that's the Social Security Act, by the way. That's in all their nonsense there. I have to put in the Buck Act, because I got to make it apply to everybody. I've got the states in the 1939 Public Salary Act, and I think that's in 5517. I got to check that. But the state said, by the way, we will do your federal income tax, folks. And by the way, our federal employees will be subject to the state. Well, obviously, it's not constitutionally. They can agree to do any damn thing they want, these two, quote, fictional citizens of the United States. So the state said, we will allow you to tax our people. And the feds said, well, you can tax ours. So we'll tax each other back. But how do we get all of these us out here, us dumb clunkers out here running around thinking we're citizens of the United States? How do we reel us in? Well, first of all, we get us to sign a W-4, election by the employer. And it says so in the Social Security Act. It is a privilege for the employer to have individuals work for him. Really? Back in a minute. Income tax means income tax, not federal income tax, income tax. What happened to federal income tax? Oh, that's right. We're going to change the words here because, see, we've not been educated in our public schools. We've been dumbed down, dumber than rocks we are. That's us. And then we define state includes any territory or possession of the United States. Includes territory or possession has to be like kind, so that precludes the several states. The definition of state is where Congress has plenary power. But it looks like state. It says state. But it's not one of the several states. But they use includes. But it has to be like kinds. And the only like kind where Congress can legislate is over territories and possessions of the United States. Why doesn't it say several states? But they can't. And then they say the term federal area means. And they go to the second part. And any federal area or any part thereof which is located within the exterior boundaries of any state shall be deemed, any state as territory or possession, shall be deemed to be a federal area located within such state. So, if you're in Florida, you're in the exterior boundaries of Florida, and you're deemed to be there because y'all signed up to be a citizen of the United States. And you are subject to the income tax, and because the federal income tax, which is only they can do only by the contractual arrangement. The Supreme Court lined it out. If you're doing a functional non or doing something with the federalities of the state, that's lined out in that case in the Supreme Court. It says federal income tax. Now we're back to income tax. And now we have cases that said, oh, by the way, seeing how the feds can't do federal income tax, we have receded it back to these fictional states to do income tax. They collect income tax. And they get my, quote, employer to offer me election by the employer, a W-4. So I sign up. So that's how the money ends up with the IRS, because there is no required to deduct and withhold. As a withholding agent, I volunteer. I've done it. Probably everybody listening's done it. I doubt if anybody's listening that hasn't volunteered and signed it up before. And this is how the con is done. And when you go to the United States District Court, because they changed the name of it in 1948, because they couldn't get away with this in a constitutional court, so they created a new one. And it was patterned after the territory of Hawaii. It says so right in the revisor's notes. And in this court, it says judicial power of the district court. How do you have judicial power of a district court? Shall be exercised by a single judge. You know what that transposes to? That's the Star Chamber, is called an inquisitor. Anytime anybody has judicial power of a district court, the Constitution of the United States says judicial power of the United States. That arises under the Constitution. It's the separate three branches of government and all the other stuff that goes along with it. Judicial power of a district court is a nice name for an inquisition, which is the old Star Chambers out of England. And we just look like it's a con. We pull rabbits out of hats, but we appear to be a top hat. But this is why the judges can do any dang thing they want, because they are merely an inquisitor. That's all they are. And this is why, like in McAlpine's case, this attorney is so, we're going to get you and you're going to be indicted. And you don't have a right to any of this stuff, because we can't get on those technicalities. You need to get a lawyer. You're hung up on technicalities. Yep-er, that's what the Constitution was all about. Technicalities. Limited delegation of power and being accountable. And there, in that recording, that guy is laying it right out. And why doesn't he want to say he's counsel for the United States of America? Why? It's just such a simple thing. I got another case on a reduced judgment. don't want the person to know what the name of. But they came back. I've never seen one stopped. Put in a status affidavit stuff. The old judge said, oh, by the way, we ought to go back and revisit this. The U.S., United States of America came back as United States. How did the real party of interest, United States of America, turn into United States? That's a pretty good damn good trick. It can't. But they do it every, they've been doing it since 1913. And getting away with it. And in 1948, when they come up with the kangaroo courts, United States District Court, the actual inquisitional courts, there are only three constitutional courts left. Back in a minute.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, we're back here. Is this a con? It's just amazing. The difference, there's a difference between federal income tax, which means comes out of the 1939 Salary Act, if you're doing business with the as a citizen of the United States. And then there's the income tax of the Buck Act of 1940 that was put into positive law in 1947. But it's income tax, not federal income tax. Because, you see, the feds can't do a federal income tax. Because a Supreme Court case back in 1921 said, no, they can't do that. It's only on corporations, on the excise tax stuff. So they can't do that. So they receded it back to the states to do an income tax. And then the states said, oh, we got everybody to sign up to be a citizen of the United States because that is such a good thing. There are so many benefits from having Schumer and Pelosi and all of those honorable crooks up there over my life, liberty, and property. You've got to be kidding me. This is the biggest con. Our republic has been overthrown, and you and me did it. Yep, we're all guilty. I don't think anybody listening had done it somewhere. If you got a driver's license, you give your property away to the federales or to the state. We don't own the cars. I can prove all this stuff. But I'm going to get to some of those. But I'm working on this, on the IRS, to bust these things and get it into a one line in Adobe Illustrator. Who is required to deduct and withhold? Those are killer words. And the only people is if you're foreigners, if you're dealing with foreign people. Well, then how could I file a return if nobody's required to deduct? Oh, that's the W-4. Oh, he forgot to mention that part. That's where I volunteered. Well, maybe I marked box 7. I don't want to volunteer no more. Well, then you better understand who you are and get your status correct and step out of Babylon. We're not going to kill Babylon. But we can step out of it and do and exist within Babylon. But it takes knowledge and wisdom. And just like Mertens, nothing to do with the Buck Act. Nothing. They don't even talk about it. Never happened. Really. And that's where it's all at. Title 26 is a waste of time, except we can use it to show it's not about you and me. Nope. It's not about us. How many people know that? I've got I just did a word search here on Gerhardt. And there are three places it shows up, which I've got to read in Mertens. Only three places that case shows up. I'm talking about the government immunity from tax. How would the government be immunity from tax if all the citizens were, if we had actually had a constitutional taxation, why would the state or the feds be immune? Well, how would they be immune? Because in their world, they can make themselves immune. And then they've got around in the sub-public salary act said, hey, you tax me, I tax you. And we'll screw these other citizens of the United States with a Buck Act. We'll deem them to be in the federal area because they have signed up to vote as a citizen of the United States or in that capacity. They're, like I say, Florida, you said, the United States of America. You got to be a citizen of Florida to have any standing. Well, we signed up for it in that we want the character of a citizen of the United States. Anyway, hope you found it interesting and... watch out for the federales. They're everywhere, and God willing, we will see you next Sunday.
Good night.
Good night.
Sweetheart.
Sweetheart.
Good night.
Good night, sweetheart.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story.
Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.